Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Tonight we finish our series, Do You Have Questions? We have studied a lot of different topics, but tonight we're going to study the topic, if Christianity is true, why are there so many hypocrites? Do hypocrites cause the truth claims of Christianity to fall short? In other words, does hypocritical behavior among those who profess to be Christians nullify the message about Christ? And I've heard this before. You may have heard this. Someone say this, I don't want to become a Christian. I once knew a Christian who was a phony, and he just turned me off to the message of Christianity. I don't want to have anything to do with Christianity. I don't have anything to do with the church because I knew someone who said they were a Christian before and they were a phony. Now, really, there are just two options to be considered when you think about this question. One is that the track record of so-called believers determines the validity of the Christian message, and the other is that there is no correlation. All right? So you got two options. Either their lifestyle messes up the message of Christianity or it doesn't. If Christianity is so real, why are there so many hypocrites? Let's look at the first option, all right? The first option, hypocrisy invalidates Christianity. People left to themselves can become negative about individuals and institutions and even the church. Think about criticisms of Christianity as it relates to the Salem witch trials. You've heard of the Salem witch trials in the 17th century that took place. And also, the second blank there are the Crusades or the Crusades. Somebody says, you know, there's been so much death and dying as a result of what Christians have done. Think about the Crusades. You've probably heard somebody say that. Or the extremity of the Salem witch trials that where Christians were put on trial for witchcraft, and some were even executed, and those kinds of things. Now, some folks also highlight present-day examples of financial exploitation, adultery, and other mistakes made by so-called leaders in the church. And the conclusion is that because of these examples, because they may have some truth to them, the church is full of fake people and therefore the message is faulty. That is the reasoning behind a person who would say, well, there's so many hypocrites in the church and therefore I don't want to become a Christian. And that's our topic. That's what we're dealing with tonight. Letter A, are there hypocrites in the church? Yes. That may be the most important blank in the whole lesson. Are there hypocrites in the church? Yes. The church is not immune to this problem. I want you to consider that many New Testament books, particularly you think about the books, the epistles written by the Apostle Paul, they contain admonitions to believers to correct behavior. Paul would say, don't do this. Why are you doing this? Stop doing this. All of these New Testament books are examples of the Apostle Paul or the writer of that book using them being the pen of the Lord, the mouthpiece of the Lord to us to correct problems in the church. The church is not immune to those in the church making mistakes, all right? Now, the other thing to consider, letter B, is that some join the church for social reasons. They may not really have joined the church, become a part of the church because they've given their life to Jesus. They may have joined the church for social, business, or family reasons. Not necessarily great reasons to unite with a Christian faith or unite with the church, but some have joined for those reasons, and therefore these are not true followers of Christ. Now, you may be able to sneak into the membership of a church and not know Jesus as Savior. That's possible. We try as best we can to honor the New Testament pattern that who can be a member of a New Testament church? Someone who has given their life to Jesus Christ, They are determined to follow the Lord as best they understand and know. They're willing to grow in Christ. They have followed the Lord in scriptural baptism. Now, we have studied the scripture, and we know that there are differences of opinion in this, but we believe that the mode of baptism is to be immersed under the water. As best we understand from the Greek New Testament, the word baptismo means to lower someone and immerse them into the water. The scripture says they came up out of the water, and so they were baptized, all right? And that is to take place after a person gives their life to Christ. So how can a person join the church? They need to give their life to Christ. We're going to baptize five, maybe six. Hey, after church today, I had someone come to me and said, I want to know about becoming a part of the church, and I want you to baptize me at the beach. Y'all watch out. You never know what may happen. We may have revival. Somebody said today, they said, we may walk up and down the beach and say, hey, have you been saved? You need to be baptized? Now, we won't just baptize anybody out there in the whole world, but I tell you one thing. The Ethiopian eunuch said to Philip, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And so it's amazing. But we baptize those that have been converted to Jesus Christ. But the truth is, there may be folks that have gotten into the church, they're a part of the church, and they've joined for the wrong reason. And somehow they came and they were a part of the church. They joined for a social reason. They joined for a business reason. Not a very good reason to join a church, but they joined for family reasons. Maybe somebody in their family's here. How many times have you talked to someone, you said, do you know Jesus? They said, well, my dad was a Sunday school teacher. Or, well, my mom played the piano. Well, you know, and there's that drive for us to be a part of the church just for those reasons. But those folks that join for those reasons alone are not true followers of Christ. And the church is not immune to that situation. Letter C. Some are genuine in their faith and they simply fall prey to acting like they are more spiritual than they really are. We are driven to acceptance, and sometimes this drives us to put on a show. Are there true believers in Christ that are hypocritical in the way they act? They act like everything's fine and that's not fine. Yes. They are genuine believers, but because of our drive for acceptance, we want to be accepted by people. We want to put on a show. We want to act like everything's fine. Then sometimes we act in a hypocritical way, and that is possible as well. Letter D. Some church leaders put on a, and there's a typo, there should be an A in there between on and super. Some church leaders put on a super spiritual image in front of their congregations. If you're a leader in our church, sometimes it's tempting to say everything's wonderful, and you may be going through a very difficult time. Some make big public vows and then violate them. That's another aspect of that. In other words, a church leader puts on a super spiritual image. That's one way to look at it. And then there's others that they say, oh yes, and I've had this many, many times. You have a special emphasis, a spiritual emphasis in the church. I'm going to follow the Lord. And they make a big public vow. And then they fall in that vow. Those things happen. Doesn't make it right, but it just is the truth. Letter E. But is it wrong to question the validity of the gospel message because people mess up or are phony? And that's really what we're considering. I want you to consider the medical profession. There's several that work in the medical profession. Do you question that medicine is valid because there are those doctors who are guilty of malpractice? Would you never trust an attorney just because there was once an unethical lawyer who ripped somebody off? I want you to think about the logic of that. You know, just because there's Dr. Jack Kevorkian, does that mean you're never going to go to a doctor because there's a phony doctor out there, or a bad doctor out there, or a doctor who would misdiagnose someone? Well, I don't think so. I don't think you're going to judge medicine based on one hypocritical doctor or one hypocritical lawyer. I must say it's harder with the lawyers. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I was thinking about Joe. Joe's graduated from law school. But truthfully, you know, you would not discount the whole field because there was one phony. Now, letter F. A hypocrite is a pretender. And this word was originally used to describe Greek actors who spoke through a mask. That's what the word hypocrite means. It means a pretender. It's like you've seen those that act, they had a mask on a stick, you know? And they would act, they would go out on a stage and they would act like someone else. And they would speak through that mask. It wasn't really what they looked like because they had a mask on. That's what the word hypocrite means. But let me say this to you. The essence of Christianity is the opposite of this. Christians, rather than putting on a show, must acknowledge their own lack of merit and desperate need of Jesus. Now, folks, I'm so glad we're studying this tonight because we need to be reminded of this. The church here is not a haven for perfect people, is it? Now, we don't like to bring this up, but the whole reason we're all here is because we needed God to do something in us desperately. And as a matter of fact, in and of ourselves, we're sunk. And the whole emphasis of Christianity is that our own lack of merit. We do not deserve heaven. There's no way we can get there apart from God, and we are in desperate need of Jesus Christ. We must admit that we are sinners, that we have failed. We're sinners. Take your Bibles and open them to Mark, the second chapter. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark chapter 2 and verse 17. Mark 2:17 says this, "When Jesus heard it, he said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" If I asked you for a show of hands, and you don't have to lift your hand because we ought to all lift our hands, I said, who in here is a sinner? We ought to, every person in here, raise our hand because we're sinners. The whole reason that we needed Christ is because we're sinners. And so you have to recognize that. Look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John 1 verse 8 and verse 10. 1 John 1 8 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." Verse 10. "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." So this idea that we're perfect and we're putting on a mask and everything's, we're just perfect people and we never have a problem and we don't need God, that is a mentality contrary to the Christian faith. We gather here because we need God to do something in our life. That's why we have come to Christ. Letter G. I want you to remember that there are religious people who will not make it to heaven. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 23. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." Verse 21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. This is referring to the lifestyle of a person. Listen, it's a dangerous thing to just say with your lips you're a Christian and nothing in your life match it. Now let me tell you, there's a tension between the way we live and it matching everything we profess, and then the idea that the way we live is what is the fruit of our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we just, all we have is a verbal testimony, and we just say, oh yes, we're a Christian, oh yes, we're a Christian, and there's not anything in our life that matches that testimony, that's hypocritical. And that's a dangerous way to live. That is a wake-up call. And all of our, there is a criticism of, quote, easy believism. Have you ever met someone and they said, oh yes, I walked an aisle. Well, what have you done since then? I hadn't been in church in 30 years. I don't read the Bible. I never talk about Jesus. I never pray. Now listen, the Lord's going to sort that out. I'm not the one that's going to look somebody in the eye and say, I know you're not a Christian. But I tell you one thing, that's scary. And for someone just to say, oh yes, I prayed a prayer. How many times have you heard that? I prayed a prayer. Well, listen. Here's a guy who's talking to the Lord saying, I preached. I cast out demons in your name. I've done wonders in your name, Lord. And he says, depart from me. I never knew you. You know what the crucial thing is? That we know Jesus Christ. That we know him. And so because of that, some of these people that you're seeing that are hypocrites may not truly be believers. You're watching them live out a life that, you know, and if there's someone here considering giving their life to Christ and you're thinking, boy, I don't want to become a Christian. I knew a Christian one time. He was the meanest guy I ever knew. Be careful. That guy probably was not a Christian. You see my point? Okay. All right. letter H. Some wrongly believe that Christians claim to be perfect. You know, this is the idea that maybe a non-believer would say, you know, those Christians, they just think they're better than everybody. They just think they're perfect. Let me say this. That should never be our attitude. We're not perfect. And, you know, there's a standing joke that says that people, preachers say and others say, that if you find the perfect church, don't join it because you'll mess it up. That's the truth. Because a church is made up of imperfect people. We're all on a journey. And the truth is that Christians are on a journey. I want you to look at the book of Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 and following. In whom we have boldness. I think I've got the wrong. Oh, you know what? Ephesians is not Philippians. All right. Philippians 3:12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected. Now, this is Paul. And by the way, if there's anybody who could say he was close, it'd be Paul. And he's one writing this. So we're all on a journey. Trust me. I've already been perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So he's talking about that we're pressing and we're on a journey. So the argument that Christians are just, they think they're perfect people, either if we are presenting that message, we're wrong to present that message. We're not perfect. The Lord is working in our life. We're on a journey, and Lord willing, with his grace, we are becoming more like Christ, but we're on a journey. Letter I, the message of Christianity is that we are progressing toward Christ-likeness. Letter J. Consider that if you have a problem with hypocrites, now I'm speaking to the skeptic. If you have a problem with hypocrites, then you and Jesus are in agreement on this issue. I love this statement here, and I have used this many times in sharing my faith when someone makes the hypocrite argument, and they say, man, I've known so many hypocrites, I don't want to become a Christian. I'd say, well, you know what? You and Jesus Christ agree on this issue. This is one thing you agree with Jesus about. Look at Matthew chapter 23. The harshest words in Scripture, nearly the harshest words we find in Scripture, were from Jesus talking to hypocrites. Matthew chapter 23, verses 27 and following. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of prophets. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are the sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Wow. You're talking about some harsh words. If you are frustrated at hypocrites, you and Jesus agree on this. And so, as we think about the issue, if Christianity is so true, what about all the hypocrites? We realize that the skeptic who is frustrated at hypocrites, him and Jesus agree about that issue. Now, letter K, it was not only Jesus, but the prophets of the Old Testament also had harsh words for the hypocrites. I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 29 in the Old Testament. Isaiah 29, verse 13. Therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their heart far from me. That is a hypocrite. Someone who says with their lips, they play with a little mask. They take a mask on a stick and they say, I'm this way, and they're really not. They're a phony. That's a hypocrite. That's exactly what this is. Someone who honors me with their lips, but they have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. Therefore, behold, I will again do a marvelous work among this people, a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hidden. This is Isaiah the prophet preaching against hypocrisy. So it's not just the Lord Jesus Christ, but it was the prophets of old who spoke. And there are other scriptures there for you to examine where the Old Testament speaks against hypocrisy. I want you to also look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Flip over to the New Testament and look at 2 Timothy. This is letter L in the outline. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 5, here's Paul in 2 Timothy saying that he's listing out in the last days what will happen. And then in verse 5 he says, people having a form of godliness but denying its power, from such people turn away. He's talking about those who deny the power of God. Hypocritical lifestyle. Titus chapter 1 and verse 16 talks about they profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. This is just a side note that's very interesting when you read the New Testament. Do you know there's more in the New Testament that would forbid you to fellowship with someone who professes Christ and lives in an ungodly lifestyle than there is about you fellowshipping with someone who is a non-believer who has an ungodly lifestyle. In that 2 Timothy passage, he says, those who profess and they don't live it, he says, from such turn away. But if you have someone lost, you're loving to Christ, they live in an immoral way. They're living in a way that is only natural for one without Christ. And Paul has more to say about distancing yourself from the so-called hypocrite, the religious person who is not living appropriately, than the one who is lost who is living in that way. So you have that one option that the hypocrites ruin the message of Christianity. But here's a second option. Hypocrisy does not invalidate Christianity. Letter A, Christians have done well in their testimony some of the time and done poorly at other times. But the truth of Christianity really hinges on the person of Jesus. The question is, was Jesus a hypocrite? No, he was not. Now, we don't develop that here, but you can do the study and know that the lifestyle he lived was consistent with what he said. His message and his lifestyle was not hypocritical. And then letter B, consider the one sent to arrest him when they came back empty-handed. Look at John 7, verse 46. John 7, 46. Find that quickly. In John 7, 46, they went to arrest him, and they came back, and they didn't bring him. This is in verse 45. Why have you not brought him, it says at the end of verse 45. Verse 46, the officers answered, no man ever spoke like this man. Verse 47, then the Pharisees answered them, are you also deceived? They came back, they went to arrest him. They said, no one has ever been like this. These were his enemies. Jesus was the real deal. Jesus was true. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 2, 22. It says, who committed no sin. This is a quote from the scripture here in 1 Peter 2. Let me read 21 and 22. 21 says, For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Verse 22, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. So Jesus lived consistent. He was not hypocritical. And then you have the 1 John passage as well. Letter C, Jesus was against hypocrisy, and his life was the antithesis of hypocrisy. So if someone you're witnessing to, or maybe you're here tonight as a skeptic, and you would say, why in the world would anybody want to be a Christian? I have met so many hypocrites in the church. I have met so many hypocrites who say they're a Christian. I would say this to you. I would say, well, guess what? You and Jesus are in agreement about that. And God's people are not perfect, but we're on a journey, and we're willing to admit our failures. So if you need Christ to change your life, you've come to the right person, Jesus Christ. He was no hypocrite. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.